KCSB FM, Santa Barbara 91.9. This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Aubrey Valerio with KCSB News, and this is the show that's sharing what's happening in and around Isla Vista and the UC Santa Barbara community. On tonight's show, curbing COVID in Isla Vista, infections in IV are rising at an alarming rate as cases in the rest of the county begin to flatten out. I'll speak with Nick Welsh of The Independent, who describes Isla Vista as a ticking bomb that needs tools to defuse, and in Nick's opinion, a recent blunder by the Board of Supervisors that could have provided some muscle for enforcing public health rules. First, let's get a picture of what it's like in Isla Vista. Max Abrams is lead news editor with the Daily Nexus. He was out in Isla Vista last weekend and captured some party pictures for the Nexus, and he joins me now. Hi Max, could you describe what you saw in Isla Vista last weekend?
Definitely. So, you know, I started going out this past Friday. I left my house at about 10:15-ish, which I feel like having, you know, kind of lived the IV lifestyle, knowing when parties start and end, I feel like 10 is kind of the natural time when people start to get together and party. So that was when I headed out. And I think that was true. I definitely saw a good rush of people around 10:30-ish. And then come about 11:30 midnight-ish, I saw another rush of people kind of leaving parties. And it made for some pretty interesting moments where there was a lot of people on the streets coming in and out, cars kind of stopped in the middle of the road, people getting in, people getting out. And, you know, there were a lot of packs of people walking around. And I tried to, you know, really highlight that with the pictures I took. But there were also a lot of smaller groups of people out there as well. And I didn't want to necessarily target them because they're not really a big group. But at the same time, I think Isla Vista is a very, if you've lived here, you know, you can kind of tell when people are out to party very much by their attire. And I think a lot of people, you could tell just based off the streets that people were definitely out to party. So, I saw a lot of that. I think just really typical things. So, you know, open containers and people just kind of running around the middle of the streets. The Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office was out there both nights. Not too many, maybe about four or five, six people giving out open containers and ultimately shutting down a pretty big party on DP on Saturday night. I got some pictures of that, and there was just like 100-something people just dumped out into the street, all walking in different directions, no masks. So I definitely had some messy moments those last couple evenings. But I think what's interesting is that after I took these photos, I started to think that maybe I got really lucky. Like this was a, you know, this was kind of an off chance weekend and there was a lot of parties and a lot of people. But the more I think about it, the less I think that's probably true, and that I probably did just catch a pretty average weekend. And nobody, unfortunately enough, had been here to document it, I guess, the way I did until now. So not saying that, you know, the photography I've taken is going to change anything, but I do think it is a pretty accurate representation of what does go on the weekends here right now. And I think one thing I mentioned this when I posted on Instagram is to keep in mind that I really hovered around three streets, you know, DP, Sabato Tarde, and Trigo, and kind of the Loop area too. So for the streets that are out in 6H, for the streets that are way out, you know, far away from DP, I'm sure they were mostly quiet. You know, I live pretty far away from DP, like on Picasso, and I definitely didn't know any of this stuff was going on until I went out there. But there's, long story short, there's definitely plenty of things going on that I think a lot of people wouldn't be too happy about.
Right, right. I know you talked about it. You mentioned it being a mixed bag, but what's the reaction been to your photos?
So most of them have been good. You know, a lot of people have appreciated what I've done. You know, I went out both nights by myself, just a flimsy little mask and a camera. So I definitely took some risks in doing this. I definitely think it paid off as well. But, you know, I sacrificed my personal health and safety and was definitely yelled at and confronted at and called some kind of mean names by folks in the street. As a student journalist, I should say, and I think as, you know, as an aspiring journalist, like, do have the right, you know, the First Amendment is a pretty powerful one. So, you know, I was on public grounds the whole time And these parties were all taking place within, you know, reach of me and my camera. So unfortunately, you know, a lot of people seem to have been a little bit frustrated that I took these pictures, but I think it's a reminder that, you know, freedom of the press still exists. And if I'm on public grounds, then I can take those pictures. So I definitely think this was a great way to exercise First Amendment rights, even at home in IV. But, you know, other people had different digressions with my photos. There was a huge argument going on in like my Instagram comments, and some folks were kind of the school of thought were like, oh, you know, it's just a party, or, oh, you know, why should this group of UCSB students be stripped of their party years while, you know, classes from the past, you know, didn't have the same treatment, or, you know, like young people aren't the ones to get it. They've been getting the short end of the stick since the pandemic. So, you know, a lot of those kinds of arguments. But a lot of people have also hopped in the comments to kind of dismantle what they're saying and pick apart by, you know, why that could be unhealthy and why that could be dangerous. I'm sure we've all heard it a million times now. We've written about it. I think you guys have covered it. You know, first person's died in IV. Mm. So, you know, this is real. You know, this is totally real. And I think a lot of people, you know, both in IV and not in IV, weren't aware of the reality of partying. You know, up until I took these pictures, I didn't know what was going on. And I'm kind of in a position where I have the privilege of always kind of having my ear to the ground and being in constant communication with, you know, folks in the community and local leaders. And I hadn't been hearing much, really. And this was something that was kind of personal for me, because I just wanted to figure out what was going on in my town. You know, ultimately, that's my job, is to just chronicle things from a hyper-local level and tell people what I see. And I think this was a good example of that.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. Just like sharing the reality of it with people goes a long way in raising awareness.
Definitely. So
from like from your vantage point as a reporter for the Daily Nexus, seeing as far as students doing their part to keep the virus from spreading, or at least raising awareness about it.
Definitely. I think a big one is, I think, calling each other out. As kind of inflammatory as it sounds, I'm not necessarily saying, you know, we need to at people and we need to quote tweet people and do all these things directly at people. But if we see bad behavior, we should make note of it. And this is not really anyone's fault in the community, but, you know, me taking these pictures was kind of, in a way, making note of that bad behavior. And, you know, now we're here, you know, in this interview, because this, you know, this notice of bad behavior has spread through the whole town. You know, but this isn't really new. You know, this is news, but it's not new. And I think that's something really important to tell, you know, a lot of people, is that this didn't just, you know, happen last week. So I think just being very aware and constantly keeping these kinds of things within circulation, you know, keeping these things circulating is really important. You know, I think it's really, really sad in some ways, but I've been looking at some people's responses, and there's a lot of prospective freshmen that are saying like, wow, this photo story has completely turned me off from like ever dorming here my freshman year. And some people are, you know, prospective students going to be college hunting, you know, this coming fall. And they're like, yeah, nope, not applying here, next, you know. And I'm seeing these things, and I'm not the one crushing people's realities, but I'm bringing to them what the reality of, you know, IV can be in some ways. And I think that, you know, from that kind of vantage point, it's really insane seeing people's reactions like that. Because this is something I've never really, you know, I've never really witnessed before.
Yeah, definitely a really like a new normal. Mm-hmm. I agree that like setting the example and then shedding a light on that was a long way. So thank you for speaking with me. That was my last question. So do you have anything else you want to add?
I guess just, you know, be careful. I have a good hunch that I'll probably be back out taking more pictures sometime in the future. So, yeah, I guess just stay posted. I do think this will be somewhat of a continuing story. I don't think the buck stops here, because nothing's ever that easy in IV. I think we all know that. This is a city of stubbornness, and it's showing. So, but that's okay. You know, there's always time for change. So hopefully people can, you know, be a little bit better, be a little bit safer, you know. There's a lot of love in IV, so, you know, we can all love each other a little bit more too, you know. So take care of one another and hopefully not give them coronavirus. But I think that's about it. So thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it.
This is Inside Isla Vista. I'm Aubrey Valerio with KCSB News. And on tonight's show, we are talking about curbing COVID in Isla Vista. Infections in IV are rising at an alarming rate as cases in the rest of the county begin to flatten out. Last week, the Board of Supervisors failed to pass an urgency ordinance, which would have empowered law enforcement and other county representatives to write citations to those who are flagrantly ignoring public health rules, which prohibit gatherings of more than 10 people and call for wearing face coverings and social distancing. Nick Welsh watched the meeting on Zoom and wrote about it in The Independent in a story headlined, "Supes Blow It Big Time on COVID Enforcement Delay. Isla Vista is a ticking bomb that needs tools to defuse." Nick joins me now on Inside Isla Vista.
My name's Nick Welsh, and I'm a reporter, columnist, editor at the Santa Barbara Independent.
What was the urgency ordinance that supervisors failed to pass last week, and what would it have done?
There was a special urgency ordinance proposed before the supervisors last week that would have created sort of a new enforcement tool in dealing with what they call egregious non-compliers with COVID public health orders. It was designed to focus on businesses who just say, screw it, dude, live free or die, we need herd immunity, or whatever the ideological reason, but they were simply refusing to go along with it. So, for example, there is a gym up in Buellton where this has been an issue. The owner has an ideological opposition to the health orders and has been letting people work out in his gym inside, not outside. The other thing that would have been much more of interest, I think, right now in Isla Vista is it would have given a fine system for people who violate sort of the large gathering prohibition. And the thing that's new here, in Santa Barbara County, the whole focus has been education, education, education. It's been, you know, please, baby, baby, please. It hasn't been, we're going to hit you with a stick if you don't comply. And this would have had a $100, $200, and $500 fine built into it. And this would have been enforced not by the police or the sheriff, and it wouldn't have been enforced by the ambassadors, the guys with the red polo shirts and the khaki pants. It would have been enforced by people like park rangers or public health inspectors and, you know, people who are sort of in between and in Isla Vista, you know, probably having somebody wearing a bulletproof vest and carrying a gun trying to enforce this would have been counterproductive. And so the idea was that, you know, you would have somebody in between who was between the red shirt and the bulletproof vest who could do this. And, and you know, obviously, given the numbers that we saw a couple of weeks ago when we saw a 225% spike in the number of cases in Isla Vista and what's been happening on college campuses elsewhere as they open up, where COVID's concerned, this seemed like a nice tool to have. You needed four votes to get there. They only had three. Part of the problem, I think, was that the opposition showed up and the supporters did not. I think there were 12 or 14 people who showed up against. There were two people who showed up for. And the people who showed up against were sort of uniformly railing against the idea that this ordinance would somehow be used to enforce against individuals who were not wearing masks. And that was sort of not the point of the ordinance, but it was not really made clear during the presentation what the point of the ordinance was. It was really the sound of one hand clapping. And the opponents were very riled up, and they were talking about Robespierre and the great, you know, reign of terror following the French Revolution and how that was inspired by somebody who was concerned about public health. And it was a real anti-masker, speechathon. And they showed up and they were very adamant. And there was only a couple people from the other side. And so it went down. I mean, they had three votes. They still have a solid majority. Technically, what that means is that the ordinance can still pass. It can still go into effect, but it will go into effect at the very soonest, 6 months from now, as opposed to last week. And when you look at what's going on in Isla Vista and, you know, the concern that people have that that could turn into a hotspot, you know, it would have been nice to have that tool sooner rather than later. If Isla Vista does turn into a hotspot, I think everybody can kiss goodbye any hope or prayer that, you know, Santa Barbara County is going to be able to move from the most restrictive tier of operations, as the government, as the governor Gavin Newsom outlined them late last week, into something less restrictive.
And your story also mentioned the big sorority party, and photos of that went out on Twitter of unmasked young people at a large backyard party. And then recently, the Daily Nexus captured photos from this past weekend of crowded streets and gaps of people not wearing masks again. And as you mentioned, on Friday night, Chancellor Yang announced that undergrad dorms would not be open. How much do you think all this is going to impact what happens in Isla Vista? There's also so many students who in Isla Vista who have already made their housing plans months ago and have signed a lease.
You know, it's really tough because, I was talking to some people, from County of Santa Barbara earlier today, and talking to some people from the university earlier today. And, you know, what are the tools at hand in order to, you know, keep things under control if you need to? I mean, is the university really going to impose discipline on students to go to those parties the way they have in other colleges around the country? You know, I think that, what I'm hearing is the campus has absolutely zero appetite for that kind of disciplinary regime. What I'm told is that, that works at City College, but if and when the few times UCSB tries to do that, parents object, lawyers are brought in, and to the extent that UCSB has tried to impose discipline, it's often been found, due process has been violated. You know, the subject of the disciplinary action sues, they take the university to court, and they often win on the grounds that due process has not been adequately provided. So what do you do then? Do you enforce the noise ordinance? So who's going to do that? The sheriff's department, the UCSB police. I mean, what I'm hearing, I have not confirmed, but I'm hearing UCSB police are nowhere to be found. The foot patrol is not walking, and that the sheriffs allegedly have reduced the number of deputies they have on patrol, not on the weekends, but on the other nights. You know, nobody wants to get sick, and law enforcement at this time in history, with defund the police and all that's going on, that's a volatile, potentially volatile combination, and people are trying to avoid any eruption that might come from that. So it's not like there's a lot of great tools at hand. I think you probably heard this as well, that even public health, they're, hearing reports that, students out there or residents in Isla Vista don't want to get tested here. So they're going down to Ventura County to be tested so they can avoid, the nosy questions that come with tracking and tracing if you were to be tested here. So it's not looking real, not looking real promising. And, the other option I think that county public health officials are exploring would be, would you go after the landlords? And there's some legal issues there. Like, you know, once a landlord signs a lease with somebody, you know, can a landlord then be held legally responsible for the behavior of his tenants or her tenants? I think that they can. I think that there's precedent for that. But again, you know, to what extent does public health want to get into that kind of a legal battle with the landlords of Isla Vista? And is it going to really control the large parties that you were talking about? So I know that, you know, and I'm sure you probably know better about this than I am, but we are told there's all kinds of social media campaigns afoot, you know, by people in the community who have the trust of people who live there to come up with messages that would resonate as opposed to sounding like, you know, eat your spinach or eat your kale. But that has yet to be seen.
Yeah. So law enforcement expressed resistance to writing citations for public health violations. And even Supervisor Hartman questioned the idea of having law enforcement and IV being the ones to shut down the large parties. Who do you think should be writing the tickets for these violations? I know you mentioned ambassadors.
You know, the ambassadors, traditionally what they do is they go out to, you know, businesses and they say, hey, you know, they give them, you know, the warnings and the, you know, here's what we need to do. And, oh, you know what, you guys are a little too close for comfort, you know. And it's all very, you know, soft touch. You need somebody that has written citations before. You know, park rangers come to mind. You know, people who go out and inspect restaurants and, you know, say, excuse me, but you know what, you got rats over here, and here's a citation for that. Building inspectors, you know, people who have, you know, issued red tags or yellow tags on you know, construction sites. These are people who have, you know, the skill set and the experience to go do that, because it's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world to show up and, you know, issue a citation. It takes some training and experience, and there are people within the county administration who have that. But again, you know, Joan Hartman, you know, we're in, obviously, with Kenosha is blowing up, cities, you know, Portland's blowing up, all these cities are blowing up, and, you know, people in Isla Vista are very tuned in to that, and probably would not respond well to sheriff's deputies. And sheriff's deputies really don't have much interest in getting put into that situation. So, you know, I think that this other sort of intermediate step that I just outlined might, you know, again, we haven't tried that before. We don't know how it's going to go, but at least it has a plausibility to it.
What do you think's the next step for getting some kind of added help in quelling parties in Isla Vista?
Well, good question. You know, up in Cal State, Cal Poly, you know, the campus officials there hired students to sort of be, you know, the buzzkill patrol, I guess. And so when people were, you know, getting too loud and too rambunctious and too noisy, you know, they'd send them. I don't know if that would work here. I do think, you know, if there are a couple of cases where even the deputies go in, and they, you know, I mean, the deputies did break up three parties this weekend, if the Nexus has it right. You know, if you go in there and you do that and you publicize the hell of it and you, you know, put the landlords on notice and, you know, I don't know if you want to say public shaming, but something in that ballpark where, you know, there is a degree of accountability where somebody is going to go, okay, my face is going to be in the paper, or, you know, landlords are going to be made uncomfortable. You know, I think that there will be some trickle-down effect. I don't know the extent to which, you know, community service districts can do much. I mean, what can they do? They can hire, but the, you know, the foot patrol or UCSB police. So I kind of think we're going to have to get to, you know, more of a level of better media coverage by you know, us and you know, other media outlets to write about it and make people feel uncomfortable. I mean, you know, the new company that just bought Gelb's property, the landlord out there who was sort of famous for being infamous, you know, what is it called, Isla Vista Live or something like that. She's been out there, you know, burning up social media advertising for, you know, out-of-town renters to come live in Isla Vista and enjoy, you know, collegiate life without necessarily being in college. So, you know, maybe going after that, I don't know. We are in uncharted territory, but you got to do something.
That's Nick Welsh with The Independent talking about his commentary. Soups blow it big time on COVID enforcement delay. Isla Vista is a ticking bomb that needs tools to defuse. I'm Aubrey Valerio. You've been listening to Inside Isla Vista. Thanks for tuning in Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to find out what's happening in and around Isla Vista. You can catch up on past episodes on the Inside Isla Vista page at kcsb.org. Our theme music is Siesta by Jazzer. This is 91.9 FM, KCSB.